Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
As summer comes down to an end, it's time to do one last volume of creepy camping stories sent in by viewers just like you. If you have a story you would like to share in a future video, be sure to submit that story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that keep this channel going. Now, without any further ado, let's get into these creepy camping stories that'll keep you out of the woods next summer. My friend Kenny and I have a tradition. You see, every summer, him and I treat ourselves by taking a camping trip up in the mountains. Now, when I say camping, I don't mean camping at a campground with bathrooms and showers that you have to reserve months in advance to get a spot before all those families with their fancy RVs come up and nab all the lots to provide an electrical outing, so they can plug in their crock pots and ready-made, home-cooked meals and their kids can keep their tablets charged up. That's just living in a smaller house. No, I mean camping. Kenny and I, we go way back. We grew up in the backwoods of our beautiful Southland, where we spent our childhoods romping around in creeks, climbing trees, staying out past dark, and nobody batted an eye. So, when we needed a break from life, we go where our hearts take us. Our prime spot? Deep into the wilderness of the rugged yet pristine Mark Twain National Park. Up so high, you wouldn't dream of getting cell phone reception, and you wouldn't dream of even wanting it. Nobody dares trek as far as we do. See, Kenny, he is a search and rescue officer, working for the state of Missouri, and I'm fresh out of the Marines. We take good care of our wives and kids and ourselves. You can see why we take our annual getaway so seriously. This getaway, though, just about ruined it for us. I'm about to tell you the story of why Kenny and I wouldn't dare go back to that park. Our weekend started off just fine. Well, not entirely. We had a late start. We spent the night before celebrating our camping trip, and well, things got out of hand. We partied just a little too hard, and had a late start so we could sleep off our hangovers. We made it to the parking lot about 2 hours before sundown, just enough time to set up for camp on nightfall. We loaded up our gear, locked the truck, and went on our way. About an hour and a half into our hike, we were coming up on our usual spot to set up camp for the week. It's on this cliffside, with a clearing we dug out years ago. The view over the forest we have from up here cannot be beaten, and there's plentiful creeks nearby to get all of our fishing and bathing done in. It's perfect for us, or at least it was, until this year. We were almost there, when all of a sudden, we stopped and locked eyes. The woods were quiet, too quiet, and we knew something had to be up. Aside from the wind rustling in the leaves, we could hear nothing, not a damn thing. No birds, no squirrels or foxes running about, nothing. Anyone who's anyone knows that the serenity of the woods is peaceful, but the silence of the woods is the most nerve-wracking thing that could ever happen. No animals meant there was something nearby that the animals were afraid of, and Kenny and I knew we should be scared too. We weren't interested in animals at the time, and we didn't want to waste our time with any predators. We didn't bother in continuing on towards the camp and setting up our tents. No, we dropped our packs at our feet and fixed up our rifles, preparing for whatever may come our way. By then, the sun had fallen down the horizon and we lost just about all our light. Just as we finished loading up our guns, a smell came over us. The closest I could describe this odor to would be that it comes out of an overflowing outhouse that's been rotting all summer. It sure as heck wasn't a skunk or anything we've gotten used to in our years camping up here. This was seemingly not normal. Moments later, the earth seemingly began to shake. There seemed to be noise, but it could have been the sound of our blood rushing in our ears as our rib cages rattled. We could feel our core trembling with the vibrations of the earth rising in our feet. Kenny says he thought he had to take a fear dump. I knew better. Something was coming down on us that our ears weren't tuned to hear, but we felt it, like a beating drum in our chest. There was something we could hear, though, and that was the sound of trees breaking. It's a deafening sound, the crack of a trunk that's been growing for centuries. We did just about crap ourselves at the first crack, and at the second, we cocked our rifles toward the west from where the sound was coming from and braced ourselves. I can't describe to you what I saw in full glory. It's unlike anything I've ever witnessed before. An entity of some kind, I suppose. A beacon of light shone from 8 feet above us. A sickly yellow light that beckoned our lives. Two lights, maybe a pair of eyes. They say eyes are the windows to the soul. And I don't know what kind of soul I was looking at, but whatever it was, it knew more than me. A feral intelligence poured out of those lights, eating away at us. I took the first shot, Kenny soon after me. We paused to assess what damage we may have done, but whatever we shot at didn't seem too fazed by it. This was bad news. My Remington Magnum 30-06 has dropped bears that are now decorating my living room floor. My wife and kids were probably sprawled across that bearskin rug, relaxing in front of the fireplace at the same moment I was recalculating the damn meaning of life with this thing looking at me. To say that my gun, and Kenny's gun, hadn't made a difference at that moment as the entity drew on closer and the lights grew brighter, said to us that we were in big trouble. Kenny seemed to read my mind, and in a second we were both booking it down the trail back towards the truck, our packs left abandoned where they lay. I wished I could go back and see what came of those abandoned packs. Maybe it would clue us into what lurks up there. But I don't dare go back, and I hope nobody else reading this story is tempted to either. Kenny and I made it back to the truck, a feat neither of us thought were capable of. We agreed not to tell anybody what happened because we didn't want to be responsible for anybody else risking their lives way up there trying to solve that mystery for us. Further, we just didn't believe anybody would believe us. All we know is that people aren't welcome back up there, and we're sure to respect that. So I'm going to do my best to tell this story in a way that it makes sense. My husband and 10-year-old son and I were on vacation with our camper in Moab, Utah. Personally, one of the most beautiful places I have ever been in my life. They both went to gather wood for our campfire, while I stayed behind making dinner. Now, keep in mind, I have never heard of Wendigos or cryptids or any such of these things before. We'd really monitor what our child watches as well, so he was not aware of these things either. So they both come back to the camper, and my son runs up to me excited, saying he saw what he thought was a pony, but that it quickly disappeared. I looked at him with confusion and said, "What?" He said, "Yeah, it had its head like a skull and its ribs were showing." Now, I said, baby, are you sure? Maybe it was a coyote. He said, no, Mom, it was like a pony, but his bones were sticking out and he had no eyes. This is where I started to get a little bit worried. I asked my husband what this was all about, and he told me that our son brought it to his attention, but when they went looking in the direction this quote-unquote thing was, it was nowhere to be found. Now, after coming home and doing some research about this, I was kind of shocked. I couldn't believe this was a real thing. Could my child have maybe seen a Wendigo? I'll never know. He's 11 now, and I still won't say anything about it, to be honest. I'm just too nervous. He remembers it perfectly, though. Chills still run down my spine when I think back on it. Before I begin, I'm a 16-year-old male. About 3 years ago, I was in Virginia visiting family over summer. We were right outside of DC, and staying in a two-story house near the freeway. On the other side of the freeway was a forest, so my mom, her boyfriend Eric, and I were staying with Eric's parents. We had brought some night vision binoculars and decided that tonight was the perfect time to use them. So, after dinner, we gear up and head out. We passed under the freeway and head into the woods. When we get about 5 minutes into the forest, we set down our bag and take out our binoculars. My mom looks around with them for a while, seeing a few squirrels here and there. She gets tired of them and passes them to me. I look around for a while, being careful not to look at the freeway for fear of being blinded. I spot something behind a tree about 50 feet to our left. I concentrate on it, trying to figure out what it was. It looks like a pale, bald, anorexic man looking straight at us from behind the tree. I get a bit uneasy, but I'm hesitant to believe it's really there. I ask Eric to take a look just in case. To my despair, he sees it too. He describes it much the same way I did. Now, Eric is a former amateur boxer, and I train MMA almost every single day, but neither one of us wants to stick around with that thing. We start heading back to the house, crossing under the freeway. We take another look behind us as a car comes by. All three of us see glowing eyes lit up by the headlights on the other side of the freeway. We say screw that and head back to the house even faster. When we get back, Eric's parents are asleep and my mom and Eric go upstairs to the guest room. There's only one guest room, so I have the couch downstairs. I'm a little too excited after seeing that thing in the woods, so I end up staying up all night. Sometime around 3 a.m., I could say, I'm watching TV and start hearing footsteps above me. I immediately remember our earlier encounter and panic a little bit. I try to calm down and tell myself it's just one of the dogs or maybe someone who couldn't sleep. I keep hearing the footsteps for quite a while, until suddenly I hear a doorknob jiggle. I find it weird that they're trying to open a locked door, but I try to ignore it. They stop, walk around for just a few more minutes, and then it's quiet again. I stay up until the sun starts coming up and then pass out. My mom wakes me up and I remember the footsteps from the night before. I describe what happened and ask if any of them got up at any time. She says no, and I think it must have been one of the dogs. That is, until she tells me the room above me is the office. No one was in the office and the door stays locked at night. My heart sinks as I piece it all together. I don't know if it was that thing for sure, but I think it was. I've done a lot of research since then, trying to figure out what this thing was. I found two creatures that seemed to match it. I think it was either a skinwalker or a Wendigo. Whichever one it was, I'm just thankful that the door was locked. I know I wouldn't be able to fight that thing no matter how tough I am. Just this last weekend, I went camping at Brownwood State Park in Texas. I had to shower that night, so I made my way to camp showers. They were incredibly loud, but it wasn't that big of a deal. I showered like normal and had the shower off to dry off and leave. I heard loud knocking on the door suddenly. It was almost rhythmic in a sense. One knock, 2-second pause, 1 knock, 2-second pause for about 10 knocks. I shouted, "Occupied!" It stopped for a beat, but then continued. I shouted, "I'll be out soon," assuming it was my boyfriend. A few knocks later, it stopped. Then, I heard my boyfriend come to the door, knock softly, and ask, "Sweetie, you almost done?" I had immediately assumed it was my boyfriend messing with me, but I noticed later, I never heard whatever was knocking come or go, and I could hear my boyfriend walk up to the door. I had been accusing him of messing with me, but he's very no-nonsense and seemed as scared as I was. He had a flashlight with him and said he didn't see anyone leaving. At the time the knocking stopped, there was about a 45-second gap from the knocking stopping and him walking up. It was really weird. I didn't shower at night after that, I was too scared. But I'm really glad I didn't open the door to whatever was knocking. If anyone has ever had something weird like this happen while camping or any time else, please let me know in the comments down below. And I know this was a short story, but thank you very much for sharing it. Labor Day of 2015, my mother, my wife, and 3 children, and I went to a very remote cabin that we rented out. It was an old fire watchman station or something of the sort. So it had the cabin and 3 other sheds/shops. I'll try to keep it short now, but this is a very bizarre story. We unpacked, settled into the cabin, and then decided to walk a couple of 100 yards down to the river, barefoot in sandals with shorts for all of us. We got down to the pebbled shore and were playing and throwing rocks, etc., when I realized there were about 1-inch snakes everywhere. My wife, mom, and I yanked up the 3 kids and boogied off. After reaching a safe distance from them, I went back with a water bottle and caught one, just to see what it was. Turns out it was a nest of diamondback rattlesnakes. If one of those things latched to one of my kids, they surely would have died. We were about 3 hours from any sort of medical facility. We got back to the cabin and my mom and I went for a hike/walk alone while my wife calmed the kiddos and fed them lunch. Upon returning about 15 minutes later or so, all 3 of my kids and my wife were inside with the doors and windows all closed up, even though we had everything opened up to cool the place off. We went inside to hear all 4 of them start yelling about a bear that was about 150 yards away from the cabin, huffing and puffing at the wife and kids out on the front porch. It was down by the river. A few hours go by, and in that time, an ATV passes about 3 times. It had what looked like 2 inbred-looking freaks on it, and each time they stopped in front of the gate onto the property, they would stare at us or the cabin. Keep in mind, we're 2 hours in the wilderness in Idaho with no sight of a person. We decide it's bedtime for the kiddos, as it's pitch black out. Within 10 minutes, our son, who was 5 at the time, went from being perfectly fine, active, and talkative to having a fever of 103 degrees Fahrenheit, slightly foaming at the mouth, and being completely unresponsive out of nowhere. That was it. We were leaving immediately and going to seek medical attention. I opened the front door of the cabin to start loading the 2 cars, by the light of 1 porch bulb in the headlights of the cars, which were both parked facing the gate. That's when we, all 3 adults, heard about 4 to 6 large and heavy animals running all around the cabin and property. There was one on the right side of the house, when exiting, that I could hear pacing back and forth and breathing heavy. I made everyone stay inside and close every door. I made them close the door every time I went outside to dredge for stuff to the cars as well. Took me about 4 to 5 trips. I had a stick in a big pot that I was smacking as hard and as loud as I could each trip, as yelling loudly at random to try to scare away whatever was around, if it were bears. As soon as I'm done, I take each kid out individually and load them up between the 2 cars, then escort my mom and then wife out. My wife and I in the lead car, so we pulled up to the gate for some stupid reason or another. I felt that I needed to close the gate, so I got out of my vehicle and walked behind it, in my mom's car, by about 15 feet, and closed the gate. Now, this gate was literally a log that slides from one post to the other. It offered 0 protection or barrier between me and animals out there. Right as I went to turn around, I heard loud, padded footsteps walking up to me. Directly in front of me, no more than 10 feet, then I see eyes shimmering from the moonlight as the deepest, scariest growl I ever heard in my life emanated. I turned and ran so fast that I swear I must have jumped from where I was into the driver's seat up my car, some 30 feet behind me, and as I landed in my seat, I slammed into drive and spun out, finally leaving. But it gets weirder and scarier though. I wish it stopped here. About 15 minutes down the road, we were still panicking about our unresponsive son, and we kept both having this horrible, evil doom feeling cast a shadow over us. I looked down and realized I still had the baby rattlesnake in the water bottle in my cup holder, so I grabbed it and threw it out the window immediately. Not even 2 minutes later, we hear our son softly crying. We realize he's responsive, and he stated something along the lines of, "Why are we leaving? What's going on?" He was crying because he did not want to leave and he was sad. He couldn't remember the last hour or so whatsoever. The quick backstory for what's next. My mother was about 58 years old at the time. She's been a Jehovah's Witness my whole life, plus many more years beforehand, and she is the last person in the world to believe in signs, evil spirits, omens, etc. The next day, my mom broke down extremely bad, sobbing her eyes out, hardly able to talk. She confessed to my wife that the night before we left for our trip, she had a nightmare in which we went on the camping trip. We came across snakes, a bear, a pack of wolves. She said she knew a lot of bad things happened at that outpost and it was full of evil. Most of all, she said, one of your kids died in the dream. I swear on my life, to this very day, if I ask her who died and how it happened, she immediately starts crying and refuses to tell me or anyone. She lives her life now with guilt that she willingly ignored her nightmare and put us in that situation, nearly taking one of her dear grandkids away from this world. She doesn't deserve to feel that. I know this sounds all crazy, but a week later, on the local news, were reports of wolf packs in that area. Wolves and bears do not coexist in harmony, but as far as I know, they do share territory from time to time and respect each other. This outpost station of sorts was about 1.5 hours into the wilderness from Loman Banks, Idaho, if you want to verify the animals actually exist around there. Sadly, I grew up in the mountains for the most of my pre and early teen years, as did my wife until she was 10 years old. I even have a half sleeve of the wilderness trees on my arm. With that said, we don't go to those mountains anymore, but we still do camp. Thanks for sharing my story. So I'm on spring break, and I was spending the night at my younger brother's house. I was with him and his mom, and we were planning on going camping out in the woods behind their apartments, since they had just bought a tent and 3 air mattresses. The woods behind the apartments are very big and are popular among many people who live there in the area, despite them technically being off limits. My brother's mom and a friend of hers built a makeshift campground deep in the woods for us to camp at the previous summer, so we already had a spot to stay. It took 2 trips and 4 bags to do it. But after about 30 minutes of hauling supplies, we finally had all of our necessary things for us to camp comfortably. We got the tent set up and got a fire going at about 4 in the afternoon. By 6, my brother and his mom were still fooling with the fire and I was lying on my air mattress watching YouTube with earbuds in when a man walked up into our camp and started a conversation with my brother's mom. At first, I thought he was the friend who helped build the camp, but after looking at him, I realized I didn't recognize him, and by the looks she was giving me, she didn't either. I sat in the tent listening to their conversation. I heard him ask her, "So, how far away are the apartments? How long does it take to walk there?" She told him it took him 15 minutes, which was a lie. It took longer, but she wanted him to think we were closer to make it seem like if we needed to, we could get away from him. Long story short, she gave him hot dogs and water and he left eventually. About 5 minutes after my brother's mom came to the tent, and what she said made my heart skip a beat. "We have to go now." I quickly gathered my things as she pulled out all of our blankets and pillows in the bag. We left in a hurry and thankfully got home safely. When we got inside, I asked her why she was so freaked out. She told me he introduced himself as, we'll call him John Doe, He told her he was wanted for questioning by the police because he was at the wrong place at the wrong time. She said he kept asking her about the police and had a few cuts on his face. He also said before he left that he would come back later. She waited until he was far enough away to start packing. We tried searching his name but found nothing. I don't know what would have happened if we stayed there that night, but I shudder thinking about it. Would we have been murdered or maybe something entirely worse? This happened a couple years back. They are multiple encounters, and they all happened when I was around 14 years old. I was a young, naive girl, and it did not register in my head at the time that these encounters were rather unsettling. My family traditionally goes camping a few times every summer. Some of our trips are rather spontaneous, meaning our selection of campgrounds are limited. We managed to book a site for a week at a campground about an hour away. It was kind of a long drive, but when we arrived, we were thrilled. The whole place was pretty much empty, and we booked a site with an amazing view that overlooked a deep valley. We loved the seclusion. However, in hindsight, the few people we did come across were, rather startling. My first encounter happened in the girls' bathroom, which was always empty. Apart from this one time, I wanted to take a quick shower mid-afternoon. This particular washroom only had one shower. When I exited the shower, there was an elderly woman waiting outside the door. I smiled and said hello. She struck up a small conversation. Nothing too crazy, just asking how I was enjoying my trip. I politely responded that I was having a blast, as she honestly seemed harmless and very kind. I then proceeded to make my way over to the mirror to brush my hair, while she slowly shuffled off into the shower. She quickly calls me over and asks me how to turn the water on. I explained to her that the shower is sensory operated and to simply wave your hand in front of the eye. I noticed that she is obviously not too shy as she has already started to undress herself in front of me. I quickly walked back to the mirror out of humiliation and continued brushing my hair. She yells out a thank you and turns the water on. However, she does not close the door. Instead, she begins showering with it open and calls me over once again. I didn't get too close as I did not want to invade any privacy on accident. She asks me if I have any soap with me as she unfortunately forgot to bring some along with her. I yell out over to her that, sorry, I can't help that I am leaving now. When I was returning to my campsite, the thought of her leaving the door open did not strike me as all that strange, I guess. I found it rather funny, if I'm honest. I quickly ran back to tell my amusing story to my little sister. She started laughing and wanted to see the situation for herself. We have a pretty sick sense of humor, honestly. Not even 2 minutes later, we are back at the washrooms, but the slow creeper lady was already gone somehow. My second encounter is a bit more unnerving. It was an encounter with two park rangers, who apparently desperately needed the help of two young girls. First, some backstory. My sister and I wanted to go visit a playground situated in the campground one evening during our trip. My mom said it was alright with her, as she knew the directions and my dad was down by the water which was close to the park. The playground was quite far away from our campsite, but the walk through the park was enjoyable. It was nice to walk under beautiful trees and explore a little. However, it was also a little creepy as everything just felt abandoned, honestly. There were no other campers around, and that just felt odd. We finally arrived at the park, but blocking the entrance was a park ranger vehicle. Standing beside the vehicle were two rangers. There was a young woman accompanied by a young man. The woman says to my sister and I that she and her partner have lost the keys to their vehicle, but they need our young eyes to help them search. Back then, I simply wanted to help anyone who seemed to be in distress. I quickly responded that my sister and I would be very happy to help. The woman smiles at her partner, directing us to look around the vehicle. Then she tells us that we could open up the doors and look inside, in case that we dropped them in any of the seats. For some reason, no red flags had gone off in my head at this point. but I felt uncomfortable going inside a vehicle that didn't belong to me. After a while, I tell them we should really get going. Their faces dropped, but they did not prevent us from leaving. My sister and I walked off in the direction of the park, and she quickly whispers to me that she thought the whole encounter was strange. I shrugged it off, telling myself that they were just in need of some help. After some time we spent on the seesaw, my dad joined us at the park. I noticed the woman from the vehicle walking nearby. I called out to her, asking if she was able to find her keys. She yells back hesitantly that she was able to retrieve them, but quickly turns her head away and walks off. Maybe she felt nervous because of the presence of my dad or something, I don't know. Later on, my sister explains our encounter with the rangers to my parents at our campsite. My mom says it was a good thing that we did not go inside the car, and only at this moment it registers in my head that this could have been a possible abduction. Thanks for listening to these creepy camping stories. Some of these definitely will have me thinking twice before I go camping next year. If you guys went camping this year and you have a story that you would like to share in a future episode, please be sure to submit that at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that keep this channel going. If you enjoyed these stories, please hit that like button as it helps me out a ton. The more likes these videos gets, the more YouTube pushes it to fresh new eyes. If you're new to the swamp and haven't joined, why not subscribe and turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day of the week on all things natural and supernatural. If you guys aren't aware, you can download and bring your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories anywhere you like. You can find those on iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, and pretty much everywhere else you find your favorite podcasts. If you would do me a favor, please leave me reviews on there. That would be awesome. It helps the podcast grow more. Thank you guys, as always, for supporting the Swamp. We're getting pretty close to the end of the year already. 2019 has seemingly flown by. Thank you guys for making this 3 years so great. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video. Oh, and by the way, if you made it to the very end, comment "hopping raccoon" to confuse everybody in the comments.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.